I'd like to thank everyone for coming this morning. This is something that we've been working on for several years. Started with my PhD program where we actually built the calibration curve for soil, silloam soils. And what we've continued now is kind of moving it further down the pipeline to full integration into our soil test system. Before I do anything, I'd like to thank the co-authors that are listed here that have been pivotal in this research. You know, as with anything, we're kind of in a crux right now in agriculture. The economic downfall has really kind of suppressed fertilizer costs right now, but eventually with the uprise of our economy, we're also going to see an uprise in the cost of fertilizers once again. We've got a lot of other associated production costs, fuel, technology, but there are always the environmental issues that we have to consider. Sustainability has been a big word that's thrown around a lot lately, and what does that really mean when we talk about large-scale production agriculture? Obviously, chemical usage has continued to increase. Non-point source pollution is an issue, especially for the state of Arkansas, and obviously hypoxia in the Gulf. Excuse me. So the first thing, you know, when we have a yield-based approach to nitrogen fertilization, there are a lot of problems that come along with that. And it's due to the assumptions that we make in our procedure. And one of those is that, you know, when we do in-rate by variety or in-rate by cultivar trials, the assumption is that the average of the sites we use is representative of the rest of the production areas. But when we have average nitrogen fertility, that's probably our best case scenario. What that results in is optimization of nitrogen, maximizes our returns, results in generally the highest profit, and low environmental impact. When we have low native infertility, and what I mean by that is lower native fertility than the average of our where we conducted our in-rate trials, that results in nitrogen deficit, which reduces yield, decreases profit, but you know, if there is an upside, is that we have relatively low environmental impact. And of course, we have the high native infertility. And this is kind of the worst case scenario, and that's the excess nitrogen leads to reduced yield due to disease and lodging, decreases profit. But then we add this environmental implication that comes along with that excess nitrogen. So what exactly is NSTAR? NSTAR is basically a nitrogen soil test for rice. It's based on alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen. You can see here, this is the calibration curve that we've developed and worked off of. On the x-axis, we have direct steam distillation with a soil sample of 0 to 45 centimeters. And then on the y-axis, we have the nitrogen rate to achieve 95% relative grain yield. So the first question, why does it work in delayed flood rice? We think there's a couple different reasons. First of all, in rice culture, you have a flooded soil. And what that does is really temper a lot of the things that would affect nitrogen mineralization throughout the growing season. You have consistent soil moisture. You have very low fluctuation in temperature and oxygen, which gives you a consistent nitrogen mineralization rate throughout the season. In delayed flood rice, you know, there's literature out there that has highlighted the high nitrogen use efficiency of domestic rice production. And I say that because domestic rice production is very different than global rice production in terms of how we manage fertilizer and flood. And then lastly, the system that we use, our cultural practices, when we flood timely, when we use urea-based fertilizer sources with urease inhibitors, we're able to eliminate a lot of the potential loss pathways that come along with fertilizer application. Another thing we want to highlight, why do we think the actual method itself was successful? Two big things here, obviously, we think we've highlighted a particular method that is useful in our soils for identifying specific fractions of nitrogen that are potentially mineralized. The second thing that we think has done a great deal is just taking the proper sampling depth. We did a lot of work to really highlight, you know, how deep roots, rice roots are penetrating in the soil. And we found that this 45 centimeter depth, you know, we have uptake of N15 at those depths, which kind of goes back to the support of our calibration curve. So I just want to hit this real quick. In rice, we don't really use ELNR. Our economists, and we've done a lot of work on this, maximum yield right now is always the most profitable in domestic rice production, and it's due to a wide range of the price ratios. Another thing is yield potential. Yield potential in rice is strongly influenced by a lot of things, including variety, location, and planting date. So maximum yield is what we're always shooting for, at least in our rice production systems. Another thing that we wanted to do is give producers a lot of choices. And by doing that, what we do is give them three rates that they are able to then use based on their management practices to fertilize their rice based on cost of production, cost of fertilizer, and those types of things. And essentially what it is we have three curves that will give them 90, 95, and 100% of maximum grain yield. So for actually the method that we use, we call it field validation, and it's basically small plot research in production fields. And the idea behind that is we go out and take the soil samples prior to fertilization and predict in rates. These small plot trials consisted of these five treatments, a zero, check, or control, a predicted rate to give you 90, 95, and 100% relative grain yield, and then the standard rate that we would recommend for rice grown on silt loam soils in Arkansas. What we wanted to do was compare each of these side by side. What we had hoped for and looked for was a very wide range in nitrogen response across sites. And the main point of this was research and demonstration. I want to just put this table up here real quick. We'll get into the details of the data in a minute, but to kind of orient you, we just have IDs on the left. We have some examples of the actual NSTAR soil test values, and then we have the rates that would be predicted from our three calibration curves. You can see those there. One thing I would like to point out is we do have a fairly large range in the alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen values, which was good and resulted in a wide range of nitrogen fertilizer rates. So this is one thing I always like to show people, and at least in rice production, we have a big misconception about what maximum yield rice looks like. And I just put this up here, and producers really, you know, when they see this particular technology and work, it's really an eye-opener because, you know, when you look at over-fertilized rice for 20 or 30 years, you get accustomed to what you think it should look like. And then when you pull back on the end rate, it makes a big difference in the way the rice looks, but you're still cutting the same yields. So to give you an idea, these are two plots from some of our response trials. I apologize, I have the yields listed there in kilograms rather than megagrams, but you can see our standard recommendation and our check plot. And a lot of producers are surprised by the amount of rice you can cut when you don't put out any nitrogen at all. And what we've done here is we used NSTAR. We cut their rate by, you know, roughly 62 kilograms of N per hectare and actually cut a higher yield than the standard practice would have cut. And what this really relates to is, you know, not only fertilizer savings, but we have reduced disease and lodging in these systems, which can really compound those yield components. And what this demonstrates to us is the need for more research on both small plot and field scale to educate people about, you know, exactly what we're seeing. These are some tables that list results. On the left-hand side, we have the treatments. I have the N rates that were recommended there. And then you can see the yields listed in kilograms per hectare. And this is just a comparison of each of our predicted N rates and their yields to the standard recommendation. So what you can see here is we have two fields that recommended relatively, you know, low rates compared to the standard, and we were still able to maintain those yields across the different N rates. This is just another example here of another producer and experiment station. One thing that we have found is that there are some sites that would predict a higher N rate than the standard recommendation, and we do oftentimes see a yield increase from that additional nitrogen. One thing that we've tried to do is find sites such as this that, you know, you get somewhat, sometimes you get a yield increase and sometimes you don't from that additional nitrogen fertilizer. Just to show you some more results here, this I wanted to throw this up to show the lower end of the spectrum where we're able to apply very low rates of nitrogen fertilizer and still maintain yields. One thing I would like to point out is, you know, you see very big differences in the yields from site to site. That's why we use the percent relative grain yield. As I mentioned before, rice is, you know, it's very sensitive to location, planting date, and those types of things. That's why we have chosen to use percent relative grain yield as our measure. So really the potential impact. What we feel like is this allows site-specific nitrogen fertilizer management. You know, the yields that we obtained from our 95 and 100% in-rate calibration curves were not different than the standard practice. In some of the research that I'll highlight tomorrow, we found that NSTAR is independent of previous crop, and the prescription in-rate to maximize yield and optimize fertilizer inputs is really the goal of all of this research. Some of the steps that we've got to answer before we can really incorporate this in mainstream soil testing, field variability, sample time, and just the actual method itself. Just to answer a field variability question, you know, in Arkansas we have relatively, you know, flat terrain, delta soils. When we sampled 140-acre field, we found that there were three management zones when we looked at 0 to 15 centimeter soil depth. You know, the NSTAR recommendation is 0 to 45. So when we look at the field variability at that 0 to 45 centimeter depth, it kind of disappears, and it's due to that depth effect across the field. You know, we went from three management zones to two management zones, and when you actually calculate the rate there, you're looking at less than 10 pounds of nitrogen per acre difference between those two management zones on the left side or on the right side of the screen. In terms of sample time, this is something we definitely need more research on. What we found is that, you know, for three different particular sites, we sampled over the course of the winter, because that's when the majority of our soil samples are going to be taken for routine soil analysis. And what we found is that within a site, there was, you know, not much fluctuation between the previous crop was harvested and when we applied our pre-flood nitrogen fertilizer. In terms of future directions, we have a verification program in Arkansas, which allows us to verify the results of our recommendations. You know, our initial success has led to work with several of the rice production states, and we want to implement this in other crops, primarily wheat and corn. And then lastly, this is some of the work that we've done for wheat grown on silt loam soils. And if you notice, the NSTAR soil sampling depth is only 0 to 6 inches for wheat, and that goes back to that effective rooting depth. You know, in our waterlogged soils in Arkansas, wheat does not root past 6 inches in the winter. And so that's the result of some of the work we've done there. You know, dream or reality, this is something that there's a lot of work left to do before we can really implement it. There's a lot of potential in the use of this particular technology. And, you know, some of the rewards that we look for are not only reduction in fertilizer, but reduced in reductions in disease, lodging, and lower environmental impacts. I'd like to thank the people who funded this research, primarily the Arkansas Rice Checkoff and the U.S. Rice Foundation, and entertain any questions if we have time. Yes, sir. Soft red winter wheat. Okay, so for the wheat study, we generally take those prior to our first split in February, and we're actually running alkaline hydrolyzable nitrogen by direct steam distillation on those samples.
I'm just wondering if you have looked at event and the cost of, you know, dealing with that 15 to 10 of waste fire and how much difference you will have with that pre mentioned zone with, you know, shallow event versus.
Yeah, in terms of just taking the soil samples, you know, when you tell a consultant he has to take a 45-centimeter sample, they get a little nervous, but when urea hits $1,000 a ton, they don't ask you how deep, they ask you how many. You know, so it's a mindset and it's a cost associated with the production. In terms of, you know, figures, we haven't really put a number on it, but, you know, we're able to get a predicted in rate using 10 samples in a field. And so the actual cost associated with taking those samples, I don't imagine is going to be very, very much.
One more question. On the site where the response flattened out about 800 meetings, from meeting the high end rate. My question is, have you looked at using the green sugar technology in the bottom of the control test?
Yeah, we currently have not utilized the Green Seeker. We purchased one this fall to start implementing not only our in-rate trials, but our mid-season trials that will give us a better, you know, snapshot of the nutrient status of rice when we actually apply our nitrogen rates. So we're going to use the Green Seeker kind of as a check for our soil method.
Okay.